Let's bow our heads for a word of praise. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house to hear your word and to receive your holy and precious gifts. Heavenly Father, so many times we look to our own works, to our own efforts, to our own righteousness. And we know that it is sheer folly. Heavenly Father, bless us with the knowledge that we are sinners and that our righteousness, apart from you, is nothing. Heavenly Father, bless us with the good news of the righteousness, forgiveness, life, and salvation that only Christ can bring. It is in His holy and precious name that we gather, worship, and pray this day, crucified and risen, for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 539.
Latins, page 219, page 219. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Printed on your bulletin insert. We chant it together.
Thank you.
Out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Choir will now sing hymn 708. The congregation is invited to join them, stanza 1. the reading from Paul's letter to the Church of God in Rome, the 6th chapter. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees got a bad rap. When you read the New Testament and encounter them, you know that they are the bad guys. They are the evil empire, the corrupt mob, the plotting villains. You were probably taught to think this way in Sunday school, but it's not actually true. If you were to meet one of the Pharisees today, you would quickly realize that he was not just one of the good guys. He was actually one of the very best. When a pastor daydreams about the ideal church member, he usually has a Pharisee in mind. Because you see, Pharisees make perfect Lutherans. The Pharisee has perfect church attendance, never misses. He tithes 10% of his income faithfully. He gives generously to charities and missions. He actually reads his Bible. And he's probably also read all 55 volumes of Luther's works. In German, of course. His children sing in the choir. They're active in the youth group. And his wife is always the first one to sign up for potlucks and barbecues. The Pharisee also makes a wonderful neighbor. He mows his lawn. He rakes his leaves. His dog never barks all night. When you forget, he takes your recycle bin down to the curb. He checks your mail for you and waters your plants when you're on vacation. He drives an electric car. He has solar panels installed on his roof. This is the kind of neighbor that everybody wants to live next to. And the Pharisee is also a model citizen. He votes conservative, but he keeps an open mind on important issues. He volunteers at the fire department. He coaches the little league. He drinks socially, but of course, never too much. He is known and respected in the community. If our nation had more Pharisees, there would be far more order and much less crime. And if our churches had more Pharisees, we'd have no trouble balancing the budget or paying our pastors. The Pharisee is the guy that you secretly wish you could be, but you know that you are not. Are you impressed? Well, you should be. His list of accomplishments is impeccable. But you know what? Jesus is not impressed. Jesus says to you, unless your righteousness is greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will absolutely never enter the kingdom of heaven. How's that for a cold dose of reality? If this guy, whose life is basically perfect, can't get into heaven, then what hope is there for you? If the Pharisee, with his list of perfect outward works, can't cut it, then what chance do you have with your mediocre list of accomplishments? None. Nada. Zero. When it comes to heaven, God demands absolute perfection, and you don't have it. Imagine that you and 1,000 other people take the entrance exam to get into Harvard, and you find out that you've scored in the top 90%. Well, that's good. But the admissions counselor says to you, I'm sorry, it wasn't good enough. You needed a perfect score on the entrance exam, on your high school finals, on every SAT, on every test, quiz, or assignment that you've ever done from preschool up till now. Remember that time you missed a spelling word in second grade? Yeah, sorry. You're out. This is what the law of God requires from you. Now, you know, it's easy for us to look around at our neighbor and say, well, at least I'm better than he is, right? I don't curse, at least not in front of other people. I don't get angry and lose my temper. I don't sleep around with my girlfriend. We tend to think of sins only as outward actions. But Jesus tells us that sin begins in the heart. You have heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Jesus tells us that sin is first a matter of the heart before it becomes a matter of the hands. Now, in the eyes of your spouse, you can be sure that there is a big difference between having lustful thoughts and actually committing adultery. In the eyes of your neighbor, it actually matters whether you're simply angry at him or whether you punch him in the face. But in the eyes of God, there's no difference. When it comes to qualifying for heaven, being angry with your brother is the same thing as murder. What's the difference between you and the guy on death row? Perhaps the only difference is that in that moment, in the heat of passion, there was a gun in his hand and there wasn't one in your hand. Why not? Maybe you couldn't afford one. Maybe you were too lazy to the store and go buy one. Maybe you just got lucky. But in any case, there's no room for judgment or boasting. Thank God that He was merciful to you. Thank God that you didn't have a chance for your hands to carry out the evil that was there in your heart. So you haven't choked your neighbor with your hands. You haven't beaten him with your fists. That's good. Your neighbor appreciates that. But if you're counting on this to get you into heaven, then you're out of luck. Because you are nowhere close to being as righteous as the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus said, even that isn't good enough. Your righteousness must exceed theirs, or you will never get into heaven. So as the disciples watched the rich young ruler walk away, a man who had kept every law perfectly from his youth up, they said to Jesus in despair, well then, who can be saved? If this guy's not going to make it, what hope is there for people like us? And the law answers, none at all. It is impossible with men. Now in our gospel text, in the second half, Jesus uses the language of the courtroom. He speaks of the judge and the jailer, the prison of hell, and of your accuser. In Hebrew, the word for accuser is literally Satan. This is a Hebrew word. It means accuser. The Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. And you know what? He is good at his job. Have you noticed? Satan has been keeping track of you. There's no man on earth his equal. He's that sharp prosecuting attorney that has never lost a case. And his case on you is foolproof. Ever since way before second grade, since the moment you were born, he's been writing things down in his little book, keeping track of what you did, what you thought, what you said, and even the things you thought that you got away with. And so Jesus says, you had better settle with your accuser before the day of judgment, lest he hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the jailer, and you be thrown into the prison of hell, and from there you will never get out until you've paid the last of your debt. So how do you settle with your accuser? Promise to be better? Better than the Pharisees? Good luck with that. The last dozen times you made that promise, you broke it just as often. What then, should you offer to make a deal? You can't make a deal with this accuser. He is out for your blood and nothing is going to change his mind about that. So what can you do? There's only one way to settle with your accuser, and you're not the one who's going to be able to do it. You need to let Jesus speak on your behalf. And so in this divine courtroom, your advocate, your defense attorney stands and says, Your Honor, my client is guilty. That doesn't sound very good. But I'd like to make a motion to dismiss all charges on the grounds that my client is already dead. And your accuser says, well, that's impossible. He's standing right here. Yes, it is impossible. It's impossible for men. But it's not impossible for your God. Because the very same God who spoke and by the power of His Word created the universe out of nothing also spoke these words over you. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Wait, that's it? Yes, that's it. These few words accomplished for you what a lifetime of holy living could never do. With these words, you became a child of God. With these words, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of heaven. The little child, 8 days old, who is baptized has already received what the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees could never accomplish. But what about his sins, your accuser asks. And God the Father, the righteous judge, looks at you and says, what about his sins? I don't see them. No, instead, I see only the perfect righteousness of my Son. I see that righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And then you remember, when you were baptized, you put off that old sinful nature and you put on Christ. You were clothed with His righteousness like a garment. And your sins are gone because Jesus took them. Remember, He's the thief in the night and He stole your sins away. They were taken and nailed to His cross. And they are no more. And so the mouth of your accuser is silenced. The mouth of the Pharisee is also silenced. Indeed, every boasting mouth in this world is silenced, so that only the voice of Jesus, whose sprinkled blood speaks with a better voice than the blood of Abel, only His voice can be heard. And His voice speaks the verdict of God the Father, not guilty, for the sake of my Son, Jesus. Your debt to the law has been paid. Your accuser has nothing left on you. You are dead to sin and alive in Christ. And so now the door of heaven, which once was closed to you, now stands wide open to receive you. For if we have been united with Christ in His death through baptism, we shall also be united with Him in His resurrection. This is the promise of Christ to you and to all who believe. You didn't earn it. But by golly, you can take this righteousness all the way to the bank. Because it is yours through faith in Christ. And so may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, may it guard and keep you in the faith, trusting in Christ who gives to you the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Amen. We stand for the Te Deum.
Thank you.
welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who is righteousness and gives that righteousness to you for Christ's sake would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and our offerings. And immediately following our offering, we'll have our installation of officers. I'd like to take this time to recognize and install the congregational officers, those who are currently serving and also those recently elected. I'll call your name off, get an insert, one of many in your bulletin. Come on down and gather around the chancel area, please. Chairman of the congregation, Scott McKinney. Vice Chair, Mark Huff. Secretary, Jerrica Perrin. Treasurer, Brent Stellick. Board of Elders, Gary Baker. Kurt Christensen, Wayne Gudgel, Ken Knaus, Dale Meyer, Matt Phillips, Chad Renter, Kurt Stradley. School Board, Nancy Stepp, Jenny Higgins, Joel Caldall, Reverend Jack Kirk, Matt Phillips. Board Chairs, Mark Simnett, Aaron Boucher, John Regal, Darla Posner, Adam Mankin, Nick Sandman, Dale Borneman, Corey Christensen, Susan McKinney.
Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen."
You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. You are to work with the pastors that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in His sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper time, that the Word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to His institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in His church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to Him in service and in Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His Word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified and His work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. We do. Sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of His name and the good of His people. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Sisters in Christ, go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. Amen. Now, your first official duty is between services during the new member welcome to go to work and help us with the new members. And for those that may not know any particular individuals or duties, that's our wonderful responsibility as well, to get a chance to know, to greet, to support, and to pray for these servants in Christ. Thank you, and we look forward to working together in the next year. We continue now with the prayers of the church. We continue with the Kyrie, the middle of page 227. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
The Lord be with you. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, give to us your Word and Spirit, so that we might continually learn to fear, love, and trust in you above all things. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you have placed your holy name upon us in the baptismal waters. Bless all your children whom you have redeemed, so that we in true unity might rightfully praise, pray, and give you thanks. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, that you have called us out of darkness and gathered us unto the marvelous light revealed in your church. Bless all ministers of the Word and their preaching, that we would hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have established parents, governance, and other earthly authorities for our benefit. Grant that we may rightly honor, serve, and obey, love, and cherish them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Creator of all who live, grant that we may appreciate the gift of life that you have given to us, and stir up in us a respect and love for our neighbors, that we would be bold to care for them in every bodily need. Look with favor upon those who suffer in any way, especially Kay, Barbara, Georgine, Leola, Pearl, Natalie, Noel, Carol, Charlotte, Raleigh, Kristen, Lori, Sharon, Celeste, Dell, Jocelyn, Ed, Cindy, Mildred, Sherry, Mark, Ron, Sonia, Anna, Larry, Bonnie, Warren, Ralph, Shelley, Doug, Desi, the people of Venezuela, and the family of Luella Bartzat. Heavenly Father, bless them and defend them all their days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer,
source of all true love. Make us to rightfully cherish the bonds you established between husband and wife, and strengthen us so that we might encourage chastity and faithfulness in our own lives and in our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Generous God, make us to be thankful for the gifts that you have given us, and give to us generosity, so that we would help our neighbor, protect and improve his possessions and income. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all truth, guide our words and open our lips for the building up of one another. Teach us to defend and speak well of one another, and show love to those who hate us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Giver of all good things, curb our sinful flesh when it desires those things that you have chosen not to give us. Teach us contentment with the possessions and relationships that you have blessed us with, and make us to live in harmony with our neighbors, delighting in the vocations to which you have called us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, 537. 537. Beautiful.
Oh,
Welcome in the name of Jesus. We got a lot going on now in between services as well. Just as a reminder, we have our new member welcome now that's going on. They're going to be meeting back in room 109 and give thanks to God for our new members. You can take a check on the back. Those are the ones that we are welcoming today with our new member. We've also got a couple of tables that are reserved in our Bible study time, so I know it might mess you up. You might have to sit at a different table for Bible study. That's okay. And then after a while, they'll come and join us during the Bible study time. Make sure that you have an opportunity to greet and welcome our new members. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the other activities and events that are going on this week. 5 o'clock tonight for the Vicar Farewell and Celebrity Roast. This is the most difficult challenge that I have ever had. There's just absolutely nothing distinctive about this vicar to make fun of. So I have had to really dig deep into the depths of my warped sense of humor for that. So please join us and see what I came up with, and we'll have some fun and a good time tonight. We have coffee and goodies and Bible study in the fellowship hall. Sunday school opening in here in about 10 or 12 minutes. Bob McClellan, come on down. You're first. Vicar.
Please come over here. It has become the custom here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, as the vicar departs, to give a small remembrance of his time here. This is done by the Tuesday morning's men's Bible study and the Thursday Lifelight Bible study. But now it's time I would like to present you with this plaque of remembrance. On this plaque, it says, in August 2016, Evan Scanman assumed the position of vicar at Good Shepherd. During this period, he passed out of one life's milestones. He passed from being a young man to a middle-aged man. He now departs from among the Good Shepherd family, Lincoln, Nebraska, as he is returning to the seminary to complete his training for the office of pastor. This is one life's great milestones, a gift from God given to faithful and prepared men. That gift proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world, here proclaimed in all its truth and purity. The verse that was chosen is Titus 2, 1 and 2. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, and self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Vicar, it has been a privilege to know you during your time here. Many blessings as you depart from here, and you will never be forgotten here at Good Shepherd Lutheran. Thank you.
All right, you're not quite done yet.
Well, Vicar, it's almost over. You're getting shorter and shorter. And the next time we see you, if you don't visit us in the interim, it'll be Pastor Schkoppen. And we look forward to that day. Now, this little thing that I'm about to hand you, for those that have been here a number of years, they've heard this little spieling for many times. But when the original church was built, the stones in the reredos behind the cross are Maliki marble, which have significance because it's also called the Jerusalem stone, and it is the very stone formation that exists that the original cross would have been put into in the ground. So this is a little memento. It's very small, but it'll make you remember what you looked at and what you saw during your tenure here. And we want you to know that you and Lena and little Katie always have a church hope. This is Emmett Sherman, Vicar, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Nebraska, LCMS, 1 August 2016 to 31 July 2017. May God keep you doctrinally rock solid and bless all the days you faithfully preach and teach the story of the Rock of Ages. Now, I can say personally that I have never heard many ordained ministers or vicars that are as good in the pulpit as you are. Your sermons are fantastic, your delivery is fantastic, and as I told you early on, I'm a hard-nosed critic of that. You have passed the test. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, if that wasn't good enough, we'll do that again at the 10:30 service, okay? All right. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall, new member welcome, Bible study in there, potluck tonight at 5 o'clock. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. Are you going to stay here forever, or are you going to move back to Fort Wayne?
Yeah.
You have asked for no help in moving back.
Right.
Okay. Well, all right. I give you an opportunity to talk at the end of the church service, and you continue your streak. Okay. All right. See you at 5. See you at Bible study. See you at 10:30. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus.